daughter. Her bodyguards walk back into the room.
All clear.
Each proclaims separately.
Now,
Cole says,
will Miss Havens and I be helping you get through your police interview or not?
Her expression tightens. Yes, we will be sitting down. Where?
Follow the hallway to the dining room,
Cole replies. She tilts her chin upward and marches in that direction, with one bodyguard following her and another by the door.
Guard the door from outside,
Cole orders them. They stare at Cole and seem to want to argue, but they do as directed. The minute they're outside the room and we're semi-alone, Cole closes the small space between me and him.
Did you offer to walk away for personal or for professional reasons? Think and answer honestly.
Both.
No one tells you to leave a room you belong in, and do not walk into that room and act like you don't belong or you won't. Understand?
Completely. I assure him, because I not only deserve the reprimand, I appreciate the fact that he has kept his word. He is not being easy on me because of our private relationship.
Claim one of the seats opposite her. Ask your questions, as I approved them in advance, and if you think of others, don't hold back.
Understood, I say.
One more thing.
Yes?
I do not want to fuck her. I do, however, always want to fuck you, including tonight in my bed.
He motions me forward.
You first.
I don't move. You didn't have to say that.
No,
he says.
But if it were reversed, I damn sure want to hear it. I did want to hear it when it was Lance.
He is honest. He is direct. He is going to make me fall in love with him. Chapter 39. Lori. I walk ahead of Cole and down the hallway, aware of him at my back, closely following me. Tara is sitting at the far side of the table, and I sit down one seat over and across from her. Cole joins us and claims the spot across from Tara. Tara looks at me. Apologies, Miss Haven. I deal with being tabloid fodder often, and I woke to headlines about me being a drug dealer and killer on the very day I'm hosting a breast cancer charity event. Apology accepted. I respond.
Let's get started,
Cole says.
I'd like to move this upcoming interview here to the hotel, and I need to feel good about what we're doing before I push for that.
I'm ready, she says. Where do we start?
Tell us how you got involved,
he says, leaving her room to hang herself, which he'd already told me he'd do, just as the police will as well. Apparently, because I fucked David Curry 10,000 years ago, I must have drugged him, she blurts. Didn't you just tell TMZ you didn't sleep with him? I ask. I deny everything with TMZ, per my manager.
No comment is the only answer you have to anyone from this point forward,
Cole states. Okay, she says simply.
It seems a wide stretch that the police would assume your guilt because of a long-lost connection,
Cole comments. It's not long-lost, she says. We're still friends and occasional fuck buddies. Some people are just better at being fuck friends than real friends. We were those people. You don't seem very broken up about the loss of a good friend, I observe. We fucked 6 times, she says. We didn't share life stories, we didn't contemplate everlasting love, and it hasn't even hit me yet. Right now, I'm scared for me. They've taken away my ability to grieve for him. It's cold and callous, but not without believability. I don't like Tara, but that doesn't make her a killer, and I can't call her a bad person for flirting with Cole. She doesn't know he's with me, and let's face it, he is hot.
Tell me about the police encounter you had,
Cole orders. They came to the door, she says. I told them I needed an attorney to talk to them. After what happened with my father, I wasn't taking any chances by saying one single word without you. Why would they come to your door? I ask. David called me last night, so I was in his recent calls. He wanted to get together. He was a good fuck, but not good enough to look like shit today for the party.
How do you know they're accusing you of giving him the drugs?
Cole asks. They didn't, she says.
You told me they did on the phone,
Cole reminds her. They wanted to question me. I assumed, Why would you assume such a thing? I ask. What don't we know?
I was in rehab last year after my father was in the press, she admits.
Does your father know this?
Cole asks. Yes, she says. He's very disappointed. Outside of him and my agent, no one else knows. They've kept it out of the press. If it gets out, it'll drive the insurance costs up on my films and reduce my dollar demands.
But the police don't know that, as far as you know.
Cole presses. They can't know, she says.
But you assumed they did last night.
Cole rebuts. I don't know what they can see on their own, she replies. Is there a database of some sort? I don't know what the police know, but if they ask and I lie, I'm screwed. If they ask and I tell the truth, they hate my father. I have to assume they'll leak the information.
What kind of addiction? I ask.
Pain pills, she says. I got hurt on the set of a movie, and the damn things just got the best of me. I didn't realize I was in trouble until it was too late.
I need a list of every medication you're on now, Cole says. They're going to want it.
He slides a piece of paper and pencil to her. I'm on an antidepressant. I really don't want that to get out. Do I have to give them this list?
They can subpoena it, and we can fight it right up until the toxicology report returns. We'll win unless he OD'd on something other than an over-the-counter medication or one of his own prescriptions, and we'll make damn sure they prove that before we turn it over. But I need to know what I'm dealing with. I need medication names and what they are used for.
She hesitates and writes down a list of 10 drugs and then slides the paper toward us. I have MS, she says. My father doesn't know. No one knows. Not even my agent and managers in this case. It's probably the reason I got hurt on the job. It's definitely what made me susceptible to the pills. Hollywood is brutal. If this gets out, I'm done. And again, my father doesn't know. He can't know. I have a lot that we disagree on, but I love him. I won't let him take the fall for me. And while I doubt he would now, if he knew the real reason for my rehab, I think he might. Suddenly, her diva persona shows itself as a warrior shield. But I have to think about the case, so I stay focused.
Does your mother know?
No, she says. My mother is in love and in another country. Why ruin that for her? Cole stands up and motions for me to do the same.
Miss Havens and I are going to step out of the room and call the detective,
Cole says. Tara stands up. Are you formally representing me?
No,
Cole says.
I'll decide after the police interview. I want you to think about your story. I don't like surprises. Is there anything else I need to know?
No, she says. There's nothing. Cole motions me forward, and when he joins me in the hallway, he says,
Office.
We head that direction, and once we step inside, we stand face to face.
Tell me your assessment,
he orders. I believe her, I say, but I don't like her.
Same,
he says.
And she's right. Her father is not my father. If her father finds out about the MS, he might go down for her.
I think of my father in that moment, and what my mother said about always feeling loved. He did love me. He would have gone down for me. And I realize now that maybe, just maybe, it's time to offer him a little forgiveness. Cole, though, he hasn't forgiven his father, and it hits me now how new that loss is for both of us. He said he needed to be saved. Maybe he does. Chapter 40. Lori. Cole perches on the edge of the desk, making it clear he's in no rush to return to the dining room where our movie star client awaits.
I'm going to call the detective on speaker, he says, so that you can start getting used to dealing with assholes like him.
He scrolls through his contacts, clearly looking for the number, and for just a moment I simply admire this man. He's beautiful, yes, but there is this air of confidence in him that one can only describe as presence. He's confident in the powerful way that most imitate and few master, but it's inherent to Cole. Or perhaps he simply felt he had to be so perfect from such a young age it became a learned trait. Whatever the case, you know when he is in the room. His confidence radiates in a way that makes you want to know what he knows,
be what he is.
Here we go,
Cole says, glancing up and catching me watching him.
What is it?
He asks. Nothing work-related, nothing bad.
Well then, I just hope that you're thinking of the same things I keep thinking about.
He winks and punches in a number, the ring echoing into the silent room before the detective answers with,
Cole Brooks, I hope you're on your way. We're going to need you to come to us to avoid a press bomb,
Cole says.
We're in a hotel and no one knows she's here. All right,
he says a bit too easily, I think, proven by his next comment.
How's next Wednesday? Today,
Cole says. No inflection in his voice, just firm certainty.
As planned, and here at the hotel. This is a courtesy interview unless you plan to charge my client. I've got things to do today here at the precinct that don't include coming to you,
he replies.
I can give you a courtesy visit to the hotel next week. Actually, I'm not available today after all. I'll stop by when it feels right.
He hangs up. Cole grimaces.
That little prick. He's trying to keep me here to interfere with my work. It's a game he's not going to win.
What are you going to do?
I could call the chief, who I know, but I think we're going to do what they don't expect. Go to the police station and issue a statement. Someone will take it.
Why? I ask.
Because then our client looks compliant to a judge, while our detective looks like an asshole who insisted she do this interview today, the day after losing a friend while hosting a breast cancer event.
Waller is willing to risk looking that way because he wants to make her uncomfortable, I assume, and he wants her to turn on her father.
Oh, yeah.
He agrees.
He and his cronies might even tip off the press that we're coming and just take the pain that comes with it. She's a weapon in a battle we're fighting but don't understand yet, but we're going to make it work for us, not them.
He straightens and catches my hips, walking me to him before his hands cup my face.
I'm going to kiss you now, unless you tell me it's against the rules, despite the closed door.
I think of Tara rubbing her boobs against Cole, and of all the men that would have forgotten me for her, but he's still here, with me, with us. I push to my toes, my intent to kiss him, but he's already kissing me, a deep slide of tongue before he says,
That was to remind us why we want to end this today and go home tonight.
He sets me away from him.
Let's go talk to our client.
I reach the door first and open it. I exit directly in front of him to find Tara standing in the living room. I got antsy in that room, she says. What's going on?
You're going to make a big deal about going to the police station,
Cole instructs, laying out his plan to set her up to win any future battles.
Cole. Lori and I drill Tara for an hour before we head to the police station, where we will show up on my schedule, not anyone else's, and demand we give a statement. When we're finally ready, Lori and I do not stay for the clusterfuck of security and covert mission operations it takes to get Tara out of the building, nor do we ride with her to the police station. Once we're there, inside and secure, we wait. Tara's car pulls up to the station, and the press erupt over her. Her security does a good job of getting her inside, and they have the sense to stay on the other side of the secure area. The press also does a good job of making the station a nightmare. Detective Waller, a 40-something man with salt-and-pepper hair, a tall, broad stature, and a distinctly sharp nose to match his sharp attitude, greets us just past security. Obviously, you're Cole Brooks, he says, already looking at Tara, or rather her ample cleavage, a hint of male appreciation on his face. I see the world knows you've arrived here, he says, greeting Tara and offering her his hand. Sorry, she says, folding her arms under those breasts and pumping them up. I can't shake hands. If I get sick, it throws off a lot of people's schedules, and this place is very dirty. She comes off as a diva bitch, but I don't know much about MS. She might really need to be cautious. She might really wear that diva badge as a shield, and I can't say I blame her. Waller glances at Lori. And you would be? This time, he doesn't offer his hand. Lori Havens, Lori says, and following my lead from earlier, she adds, Cole's associate? Associate, he says, smirking. They don't make associates the way they used to.
I'll assume that to be a compliment, Lori replies, and you have mustard all down the front of your shirt.
Tara shows good sense and doesn't respond, nor do I. We simply let him suffer in the moment when a young, pretty associate turns around an insult on him. His eyes flicker slightly, embarrassment quickly banked before he recovers with, "In case I need some later, let's get this done." He turns and starts walking as I place Tara to my left and Lori to my right, glancing over at Lori to give her a wink of approval. Her lips quirk, but she says nothing. A long walk and an elevator ride later, we're in an interview room. The three of us across from him, a camera in the corner. The drilling begins, and with a bang.
"How many times have you fucked the deceased, Ms. Knight, prior to him being deceased, of course?"
"Six times," she says, without hesitation. Waller just blings at her, then says,
"Not seven?"
"Six," she repeats.
"What about last night?"
"He wanted to fuck," she says, leaning back in her chair and flipping her hair. "I had to sleep, and that man didn't sleep at all when we fucked. It was like all night long. I have a charity event tonight. I couldn't do that last night."
He starts drilling her about where they met, how they met, where she was last night, when she saw him last. It's all building up to some bombshell. I feel it. I know how these things roll out.
"Did you ever do drugs with the deceased?" he finally asks.
"I don't do drugs, detective," she says. "I've never done drugs."
"You were in rehab last year."
And there it is, bombshells starting to land.
"For painkillers from an injury," she says. "And it's quite embarrassing."
"If this gets out," I tell him, "we'll sue the department." He smirks. "Good luck proving that one." In other words, he's covered his bases. Tara sits forward.
"You little—"
Lori catches her arm. Tara inhales and sits back, never finishing her sentence. Waller smirks. "Did you know the deceased as a drug user?"
"He smoked weed, if that counts," she says. "I hate the skunk smell weed gives off, and he kept it away from me, even when he was writing his book and he was all fucked up about revisiting the past. Sex was his thing, not drugs."
Lori suddenly stands up and walks to my seat, leaning down to my ear.
"I'll be right back."
Her hand is on my shoulder and she squeezes, and I get it. She thinks she knows something. She needs to check it out. She exits the room and Waller leans toward us.
"Have you ever given any drugs to the deceased?"
I don't like this question. "State his name," I say. "This constant reference to the deceased could mean anyone." He grimaces and repeats the question.
"Did you ever give David Curry drugs of any kind?"
"Advil, maybe Excedrin, nothing more."
He reaches in his pocket and sets a bagged prescription bottle on the table.
"We found this on his bedside table."
Holy fuck. I reach for it before she can, reading the Vicodin label dated a year ago.
"I didn't give this to him," she says to me. "I swear to you, Cole."
She looks at Waller.
"I didn't give this to him, and I wouldn't have even given up my pills back then. I was addicted. I wanted everyone for myself."
"We'll let you get out of this," he says. "We'll make a deal. You give us your father, we'll give you privacy and freedom."
I laugh. "You're a piece of work. The man took it from her, or she dropped it. Not to mention there is no cause of death or toxicology report."
"That'll take weeks," he reminds me, looking at Tara. "Weeks of bad PR, but a good amount of time for me to talk to your mother. She wouldn't take down your father last year, but now she's protecting her daughter."
Tara leans forward. "Leave my mother out of this."
"Even if he has Vicodin in his system," I say, "you're going to have a hard time proving a year-old prescription was the source." Lori walks back into the room and kneels beside me. She holds out her phone and is showing me the cover to David Curry's book when Waller asks,
"If you didn't give him the pills, how did he get them?"
Lori's eyes go wide and she says,
"I know how."
She tabs through pages on her phone and then lets me read a section of the book. It takes two paragraphs for me to decide I'm really falling the fuck in love with this woman. "Read it to him," I order. She stands up and starts to read. It was a dark time in my life, like a cloud hovered just above me, waiting to rain down more and more despair. Everyone thought I was on top of the world, but I was in hell.
What does that have to do with the damn pill bottle? Waller grumbles.
He was suicidal, Lori says. There's even reason to believe he killed himself.
He never said suicidal.
He all but said it, Lori argues. A jury will see that.
And yet the press hasn't said a word about it. Not even they read that as suicidal.
This book is 2 years old and it's one paragraph, Lori argues.
Exactly the point, Waller counters. But even if he did kill himself, your client gave him the drugs to do it.
I didn't give him those drugs, Tara growls. He had to have stolen them from me.
Tell a jury, Waller says. I stand up. This interview is over.
Wait, Lori says. Just give me a minute. She holds up a finger. His own words, she says and reads. I even went so far as to hoard pills. I collected them. I knew that one day I'd need them. One day it would all be too much. She lowers her phone.
He took them from her. Oh, thank God, Tara says. Or not. Damn him. Damn all of this.
Tara gets up and says, I need air. And leaves the room.
Waller smirks. He didn't say he took other people's pills. That's not enough to shut me down. In other words, I say, you plan to torment her through the press and jeopardize her career unless she makes up a fantasy about her father to end this.
He holds out his hands.
I just want her to tell the truth.
I press my hands on the table and lean toward him.
I will sue you, your boss, the city, and everyone in between if you slander her or release her private medical history. No one else has it. I'm sure with TMZ and the random tabloids, someone is looking. Offer her the deal. Her for her father. He looks at Lori. Choose your sides wisely. It would not be smart to start your career on the wrong side of the law. It's a threat to go after her, and he looks at me. Our eyes hold for several beats, and he adds, if you don't offer her the deal, you will look suspicious, like you aren't protecting her interests over her father's. If you do offer her the deal and she takes it, you look like you represented a crook and took down police officers, all in the name of a criminal. If she doesn't take the deal and her world ruptures, you become part of the internal bleeding. Good luck.
He smirks and walks toward the door.
Waller, I say.
Yes, Brooks?
I don't even turn to look at him. Your friends thought they beat me, too. They're in jail. Now I look at him. Good luck. You're going to need it. He stares at me again for several hard beats.
I'm not them, he says, and he leaves.
Lori steps to my side. Now what?
I glance over at her.
He threatened you, I say.
In other words, he just ensured that I'm not done until he's done.
Chapter 41 Cole.
Bring Tara into the room.
Lori stares at me, clearly ready to ask a million questions she knows she can't ask right now. Not here, not while we're being watched. She hesitates, but tears her gaze from mine, exits the room, and returns with Tara. Now what? She asks, shutting the door behind her.
This room is being filmed, I warn. You aren't speaking to me, but Detective Waller. You have two choices. Give up your father or take the heat and potentially expose your rehab records to the studios, which could damage your career. Should you choose the latter option, I'm going to connect you with an attorney I know here locally that will sue the fuck out of everyone we can sue and recover millions upon millions without you having to work.
I couldn't give up my father if I wanted to, she says. He's an honest man. I know nothing negative to share with these people, and even if I did, I would not turn on him for a career that has a limited lifespan. So to choose an option, I say, sue the fuck out of them. Connect me to that attorney. Now. Today.
Good choice, I say. I'll make a phone call now. I pull out my phone, set up a meeting for this afternoon despite this being a Sunday.
Lori and I walk with Tara toward security, during which I send a text to Adam. Red alert. He'll know that means trouble. He'll know that means I'll pay whatever it takes to find the dirt I know exists on Waller. He replies with, message received, still free of charge. I'm fortunate that Walker Security hates dirty cops as much as I do, and if Waller is with the ones we already took down, he's a killer and a thief, and I don't let someone like that target Lori. I should never have brought her here. Once we're at security, we coordinate with Terra's guards and part ways with the agreement that keeps us out of the press chaos. Lori and I are to walk 4 blocks down to a Starbucks where they will pick us up. We exit the police station and start walking, wordless and keeping a fast pace, both of us watching for press, moving quickly through the crunch of people swarming the walkways. It's not until we reach the coffee shop and the pickup location that Lori steps in front of me, her green eyes alight with challenge. Do not back down from me, she says, stepping in front of me. We aren't backing down, I say. Thanks to you and that book excerpt, we've set the stage for a harassment case against the department should they take inappropriate actions. The right attorney is here in L.A. who specializes in these type of cases, and we'll fight that portion of this battle while we battle any criminal charges if they're filed, which I doubt based on the facts. He threatened you too. A day at the office, I say. Then it's that to me as well. I can handle it. I have no doubt you can handle yourself, I say. But this one came at you because of me. He threatened you to get to me. This doesn't end well for him, and that is on me.
What does that mean, Cole?
It means he's going down.
The way you made those other officers go down?
Damn Skippy, sweetheart. Just like that.
What exactly did you do to take down those officers?
I narrow my eyes on her. What are you suggesting?
The way you're responding to this...
Careful who you admire, I say. You might choose wrong. Is that what this is? You chose wrong?
No, Cole, I didn't.
A car pulls up next to us and the back window rolls down. Terra pokes her head out.
Get in.
Let's go, I order.
I didn't mean that how it came across.
You can explain later, when I'm done with my job, which includes protecting you.
Now I'm a job?
Was that ever a question? I ask, knowing the inference I've made, that she was never more when she's so fucking much more. But I'm pissed. I'm really fucking pissed right now. I step around her and head for the car, aware that she's judging me by her father. Aware that I told her I could deal with her thinking the worst of me, but fuck. She thinks I'm a damn criminal? That's a hard pill to swallow.
Lori. I spend the next few hours regretting my words to Cole and doing exactly what he no longer thinks I'm capable of, admiring him, watching him work the magic that makes him a master at what he does, that makes him deserve my admiration, not accusation. Thanks to him, Tara has, at his urging, in the presence of her new legal team, called her mother, father, agent, manager, and apparently a studio head, and just confessed all her secrets. Control is hers, and we finish the meeting just in time for her party. We ride back to the hotel with her between us. Her driver pulls into the hotel's private parking garage, and we all exit the car. You two should come to the party tonight. Tara looks at me. I'll send you a few dresses to try on. I don't want to go to this party. I want to talk to Cole. I want to kiss Cole. I want to apologize. I want him to stop being an asshole. Even though I deserve it.
We have work to do on your case, Cole says, and we'll be flying out in the morning.
Not tonight. The urgency to take me to his bed has clearly departed. Tara argues with him, but ultimately rushes off to get ready for her party. Can we talk, please? I ask as we step into an elevator.
Not now, he says, staring forward, refusing to look at me. Right now, he adds, we're going back to the suite to help Adam and his team try to find dirt on Waller. We can talk when we're on the plane tomorrow.
My stomach knots and I turn away from him because he's not looking at me anyway, and of course there are cameras. I can say next to nothing, but I have to say something. I'm sorry, I say. What I said came out all wrong and...
Not here,
he orders. Right, I say. On the plane tomorrow. The elevator dings and the doors open. Cole motions me forward, and I'm having all kinds of crazy thoughts. I'll just stop and kiss him. I'll never kiss him again because this was all a mistake. I'm back to I'll just stop and kiss him when we arrive at the door and he scans the card. I'll just kiss him inside. He shoves open the door, and I find Adam and another man sitting on the living room couches with a big bottle of tequila in front of them. Cole joins me, and the second unknown man stands to a towering height of the Jolly Green Giant. Seriously, the man is like 6'4" or 6'5", not to mention he's all muscle with a huge scar down his cheek.
"Name's Rick Savage,"
he announces with a grin and lifts a shot glass that he downs.
"Because I'm a savage."
I laugh, because otherwise I might cry. Cole looks at me.
"You laughed at that?"
"Now you look at me?" I challenge.
"I'm funny, dude,"
Savage says.
"It was funny. What are we doing?"
Cole asks, sounding far from amused at Savage or me.
"We,"
Adam says, downing a shot,
"are doing our best work on finding Waller's secrets. Tequila is our magic juice."
"Got an extra glass?" I ask. Cole looks at me again.
"You don't drink, remember?"
"I drink," I say, "just not a lot." I look at Savage. "Glass?"
"Oh, oh, oh," Savage says. "The lady wants some tequila. Come on over."
He sits down, pours me a shot, and I take a seat on the couch, a cushion between him and me, and accept the drink. Cole stares at me from where he's still standing outside the line of the living room, his expression unreadable.
"Fuck it,"
he says, peeling off his jacket.
"Pour me one, too."
He joins Adam, which places him directly across from me, a table between us. I down the shot, and I can't stop the grimace. "Oh, God, how do you drink this stuff?" Everyone laughs, except Cole.
"Number two is easier,"
Savage says, refilling my glass. Cole downs his shot without so much as a blink.
"Where are we on Waller?"
One of three MacBooks sitting on the coffee table beeps.
"That will be our latest update,"
Adam says.
"We have our two best hackers on the job, Blake and Asher."
"Hackers?" I ask.
"That's right,"
Savage says, tapping my glass.
"That'll sound better with another drink down you, I promise."
Cole actually looks at me now and arches a brow. Asshole. I down the damn shot and, oh my, how my head spins. I set the glass down. I'm done. That was one too many for nothing but croissants and bacon all day.
"Asher hacked every camera around Waller's apartment and areas he frequents,"
Adam announces.
"He might have something. He's noncommittal, probably because he's not drinking. I know that man. We were SEALs together. He's a better hacker drunk."
Savage grabs his computer and checks for an update.
"Blake says Waller has an internal affairs record. Bingo."
I frown. "How does he know that?"
"Aside from all of our friends in high places,"
Savage says,
"if I tell you, I'll have to kill you."
He motions to Cole.
"And I'm pretty sure my Green Beret past won't save me from him if that happens."
My eyes meet Cole's for about 2 seconds before Cole refills his glass. Savage motions to a MacBook on the coffee table.
"Grab that and look up a couple of names Blake is throwing at me."
I start helping the best I can while my head spins, and at some point I end up on the floor, jacket and shoes off, hair down, pizza in hand, and I think another drink. No, it's a soda. The pizza helped the spinning room slow down. My head isn't buzzing nearly as badly as it was at one point, but I just can't slip out of the haze I'm in. And yet my heart is hurting because through all of this, Cole and I have not spoken or touched. He just gives me heavy-lidded stares that I imagine mean, "You're a bitch and I'm done with you," even though I warned him I was going to screw up like this. I stand up.
"Where are you going, chickadee?"
Savage asks. I don't know what language he is speaking. I also don't know why, but I walk right up to Cole and I say, "You're being an asshole."
"Anything else?"
"No," I say. "That question pretty much seals the asshole label because even though I earned it first, you've succeeded in making it your own. Another win for you." I walk to my left, down the hallway that leads to a staircase a lot like Cat and Reese's, which means a bathroom must be up top, and I just need away from everyone for a few minutes.
Cole.
Oh, fuck, man, Savage says. What the hell did you do? Just being your normal, charismatic self, Adam asks.
I tune them out, focused on Lori's words. Another win for me.
Fuck. I'm not even close to winning right now. Not after spending hours watching Lori interact with Savage and Adam, fighting with myself over what happened earlier. Telling myself that I made a mistake getting this personally involved with Lori. But the minute she heads up those stairs, I know I need to talk to her. I need a lot of things where Lori is concerned, but this hellish distance is killing us both. I down a shot and stand up. Careful, man, Adam says. You're traveling a path that will have no return. Too late, I say. I'm already there. I step outside the line of the living area and start walking, on the hunt for Lori, and I don't stop until I'm at the top of the steps. There's only two doors, a bedroom and a bathroom, and the bathroom door is closed with a light burning beneath it. I stand in front of it, my hands pressed on the frame on either side, and I wait on Lori. Chapter 42. Cole. Lori opens the door and sucks in air. Cole? I shackle her waist and walk her backward into the tiny bathroom and behind the door to press her against the wall. My hands go to the surface on either side of her head and with good reason. If I keep touching her, I will yank her dress up and fuck her, which is not an option. Not only do I not have a condom, fucking does nothing but funnel anger that I'm still going to feel when it's over. Is that what you think of me? I demand. That I'm a criminal taking down good police officers who got in my way?
No. God, no. And damn it.
She presses her hand to her face a moment.
I've had too much tequila to make my case, and it sucks.
Her hands settle on my chest.
You really matter to me, Cole. So much so fast that it's terrifying.
I see that.
You see that? She demands. What do you see? Don't answer. I told you I was going to screw this up. My father seemed perfect, but he wasn't. He gambled, he took risks. I can't let you be perfect in my mind, even though I know you deserve to start there and earn any negative. I'm trying to fix that. I know how I have to fix that, and I need you. I wouldn't probably say that without the tequila, but it doesn't make it less true. I don't want you to mistake that for me needing your money, though. It's not your money. It's you. I swore I wouldn't, but I do, and I'm rambling, and I can't seem to stop. Can you please say something now?
I cup her face. I've been waiting to hear you say that.
Which part? The I'm sorry or the
you need me? Say it again.
I do,
she whispers.
And you're even more of an asshole because you made that happen. I said I wouldn't let you. I vowed.
Say the words, I order roughly.
I need you. I do. I need you and...
My mouth closes down on hers, and my God, I have never wanted a kiss or a woman like I do this one. I tangle my fingers into her hair. I breathe her in. I inhale that scent of flowers, and it all comes together in a hot mix of adrenaline and lust. I cup her backside and lift her. And hell yeah, her legs wrap around my waist. I start walking, but I don't stop kissing her, maneuvering us out of the bathroom and down the hall until we're in the bedroom. I tear my mouth from hers and kick the door shut, halfway to the bed when reality hits again. No fucking condom. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I walk a path of moonlight streaming through the curtains and lay Lori on the bed, but I don't dare go down on top of her. I catch my weight on my hands and I intend to stay that way, to stand up before I forget our limitation, but she whispers,
"Kiss me again already."
And who the fuck am I to deny her the kiss that I want as much as she does? My mouth closes down on hers, and some part of me decides that I'm getting her on the pill. I'm taking her to a damn doctor. I need to be able to fuck her when I want to fuck her. Hell, I need so many damn things with this woman. And when her hands slip under my shirt, her soft palms touching my skin... I damn sure need more of her hands on my body to the point that it requires a Herculean effort to pull back and press my forehead to hers.
We don't have a condom. We have to...
It's okay,
she whispers. I'm on the pill. It's been a few weeks, or maybe longer. A month. Those words hit me like a wrecking ball. I press my hands to the bed and raise up to look at her. You're on the pill? It comes out as pure accusation, but she doesn't seem to notice. Yes, she says. I am. We're safe. For who? Because we damn sure know it wasn't me. Her eyes turn from lust to anger in 3 seconds flat.
Get off me.
Was it Lance? Get off me or I swear I will yell until they come and get you off of me. Go ahead, yell. Tell me. Because I damn sure want to know who had you when I couldn't fuck anyone else no matter who offered themselves up to me. Not a fucking one, Lori.
There was no one, and you're not just an asshole. You're a bastard.
Her eyes start to tear up.
Get off.
The way she whispers it this time, the way her voice quakes, does the job. What the hell am I doing holding her down? What the hell is this woman doing to me? I push off the bed and she scrambles to her feet and turns on me.
You, she says. I did it for you.
We hadn't found each other again back then.
Yeah, well, after that night, a month passed, and I didn't start my period.
Bullshit, I think. We used a condom, I say.
They fail, and I didn't start my period.
I shackled her waist and walk her backward until she's pressed to the wall. What are you telling me?
I went through the hell of thinking that I was pregnant while trying to take care of my mother.
Thought, or you were?
No, I did not abort your baby, Cole. I wouldn't do that.
Fuck, Lori, that's not what I meant.
I guess we're just full of misunderstandings today,
she bites out. I wasn't pregnant. The doctor said it was stress and put me on the pill, but I thought I was pregnant. I thought I was, and I didn't know how to find you. You left, not me. I didn't want you to leave.
I know that very well, but that's not the point.
She's right, it's not. The point is, I say for her, because it's true. I'm an asshole.
Right now, yes. Yes, you really are.
I cup her face, and I'm honest with her in a way I have never been honest with anyone but myself. I'm sorry. I overreacted to this. I overreacted to Lance at the party. I don't overreact.
Maybe that makes me bad for you.
Like poison that... No, I say, that's not it. I just don't want to be out here on this ledge alone feeling what I'm feeling. Her hands come down on my wrist.
You're not alone, she says. In fact, I'm the one holding on to you so I don't fall over the edge while everything you do pushes me a little closer. We were both wrong tonight, but it hasn't changed anything. I still want to be on the ledge with you.
I cup her face and kiss her, and just that easily I'm back to drinking her in, needing her, wanting her in this deep, cutting way that says I would bleed for this woman. I don't tell her that I will bleed for her. I don't tell her that I will cross lines to protect her. I wouldn't do it for anyone else. I haven't done it for anyone else but her. For her, I would do just about anything. I drag her dress down and unhook her bra. I have this deep need for control right now that I force myself to contain to a reasonable level of demand. I drag my fingers over her nipples, my gaze following, and with a dip of my head, my tongue comes next. Her moan says the tongue wins for most appreciated. I use my teeth, a gentle scrape of her nipple, followed by a lave of my tongue, and her fingers slicing into my hair say my teeth drive her wild. I suckle her nipple and drag the bra straps over her shoulders, down her arms. She grabs my shirt and tries to yank it open, buttons and all. It doesn't budge. We both laugh, and she blushes a pretty, sexy pink.
In my tequila-laden mind, that went differently.
Like the tequila made you call me an asshole downstairs? I tease.
The tequila kept me from saying it sooner.
Is that right? I unbutton a couple of buttons and pull my shirt over my head. Before it ever hits the ground, she's wrapped her arms around me and pressed those gloriously naked breasts against me, skin to skin. That's all it takes to ignite a frenzied rush of kissing, touching, all over each other. I manage to unzip the rest of her dress, and I turn her to the door, pressing her hands to the wall. I skim it down her hips, and now I have my answer. She's wearing black lace panties. I wind my fingers in the tiny black lace straps at her hips and pull them down. My arm wraps her lower body and I lift her, scoop away her dress and panties, and when I set her down, I stand, giving her a gentle but definitely present smack on the backside. She yelps and I pull her against me, her back to my chest, my hands cupping her breasts, lips near her ear. That's for making me suffer downstairs, wondering if you were sitting next to Savage wearing no fucking panties. I wouldn't do that, she whispers, inside a half moan, as I tug roughly on her nipples. But you wanted me to wonder, didn't you? I wanted you to do something other than sit there and scowl at me. I turn around and press her against the wall. You want me to do more? I challenge. Yes, Cole. More. Don't even think about coming without me or I will spank you right here, with them down there. I should spank you for teasing me with your panties. I lower myself to my knees with one goal in mind. Making her come. Chapter 43. Cole. Still on my knees in front of Lori, I press my lips to her belly. She gives a choked laugh. I can already tell you that I'm going to come, but Cole? There is something in her voice, and I look up at her. Yes? Don't spank me here. Not here. It doesn't feel private. I kiss her belly again. Not here, I agree, more than satisfied with the fact that she hasn't told me no. Just not here. I lick her clit and stand up, my fingers pressing against the wet heat of her sex. Come on my fingers, I say, my lips next to her lips. Then on my cock. I kiss her and slip two fingers inside her. She's wet and hot, and she pants into my mouth in that sexy, sweet way she does. The more I lick into her mouth, the more I stroke her, and the more she arches into me. Her prediction is right, and it's all of about 60 seconds before she stiffens and her orgasm quakes my fingers and her body. It's abrupt and over far too quickly. Can you be undressed now, please? She whispers. Since you said please, I say, reaching for my pants, and between the two of us, she has her wish, and quickly. I'm naked, hard as a fucking rock, and pressing inside her, lifting her as I did in the hallway of my apartment. But this time, we won't be standing. I walk us to the bed, and I go down on my back. I want her on top. I want her to ride me. I want her to show me how much she wants me. And she does. Lori sits on top of me and starts to move, slow at first and then faster, her spectacular breasts swaying with every thrust. Show me how you want me to touch you, I order, knowing Lori is reserved, but wanting her to let me see that other part of her I know exists. The part that let me spank her, wanting her to trust me that much again. I expect her to be shy, to need urging. She doesn't. Her hands glide over her body, her breasts, fingers trailing her nipples. I pump into her, and her head tilts back, pleasure sliding over her face, and it's official. This woman rocks my world. I roll her to her side facing me, kissing her, molding her closer. Now that's what I want. Her closer. Her next to me. Her everywhere and every way I can feel her. My hand on her breast, my mouth on her nipples, my cock driving into her until she cries out so damn loudly it might just echo downstairs. I kiss her, swallowing the sound, and fight the tight knot in my groin that refuses to let go. I shudder into release, spilling myself inside her, and when we finally melt into each other and the bed, I don't let go of her. I hold her tighter. I'm not letting her go. If I do, she'll run. I still feel that. I need a towel, she whispers, and I reluctantly ease back to kiss her temple. I'll grab you one. I pull out of her and walk to the bathroom, grabbing a towel and tossing it toward the bed for the ease of speed. Thank you, she says, grabbing it and then scooting off the bed. Bathroom, she says, still completely naked as she races past me. She enters the bathroom and shuts the door. I really hate that shut door. I pull on my pants and decide, screw giving her space to run. I snatch up my shirt before walking to the bathroom door. It opens right after I arrive. She stops abruptly and stares up at me. What's wrong? Not a damn thing. I slip my shirt around her and pull her close. You're mine now. And what does that make you? Yours? I say, without the hesitation I should feel. I feel none. That means we're taking on this thing called life together. That means you have to actually live it with me. You have to let me in.
I am. I will, but for the next 9 months I'm still your employee, and you have to understand our limits.
Work I get, but outside of work, I'm not going to be as understanding as you want me to be.
I kinda figured that out, and I'm still here, but that doesn't mean I'm going to just say yes to everything.
I'll push.
I know that, Cole, she says. Very well.
Then you're okay with it?
You just let me tell you not to spank me here and didn't even blink. I believe you'll listen when I need you to listen.
I have fantasies about spanking you again, I say. Her teeth scrape her bottom lip.
Yeah?
Yeah, sweetheart. But the weight only makes it better. I kiss her. Let's go back to the bed.
Do we need to go back downstairs?
There is not a chance in fiery hell that we're voluntarily leaving a bedroom with you in my shirt to go check on Adam and Savage, I say. If they need us, they'll shout. I lead her back to the bed and pull her down with me. We're staying here tonight. I pull her to me, catching her leg with mine. We're sleeping here.
What about being watched?
We're in an all-night work session with Walker Security. We're covered. Now, tell me something I don't know about you.
I don't even know where to start.
Birth, I say, because I want to know everything there is to know about this woman. She starts telling me her story, and we laugh and talk for hours. It's a long time later when she falls asleep on my chest, and I lay awake thinking about everything that happened tonight. This woman belongs with me. I'm in love with her. I'd say it happened fast, only it took my entire life. Lori's second night with me does not end the same as the first did, and I made sure of it. The minute she fell asleep, I wrapped myself around her and ensured she wasn't getting away. I wake up to her soft, sweet curves pressed to mine, and I know this is how I want to wake up over and over and over again. I lay there for a good 30 minutes just holding her, and do so despite the fact that I want to get back to New York, where the company needs me, and where reality and normalcy will allow me to root Lori in more than a hotel adventure. I know the moment Lori is awake for no reason other than I just know. You're awake? I murmur, nuzzling her neck, aware that she no longer smells like flowers, but rather like me, which I'll take over those sweet flowers any day of any week. I'm awake, she confirms, rotating to look at me, her hand settling on my jaw, fingers raspy over my stubble, her hair wild and sexy, her mascara smudged under her eyes. And this, she says, is me in makeup that I have worn for 24 hours and through too much tequila and a lot of rolling around in this bed with you. The only thing better, I say, kissing her hand, would be you in my bed, which is why we need to get up and get moving. I want to fly out today, and I never arranged us a flight. I shift us, kiss her temple, and throw away the blankets to stand up. Since I'm in my pants and she's in my shirt, I hunt down my shoes and socks.
Should we stay until tomorrow?
Lori asks, scooting off the bed, my oversized shirt draping her body.
It's Monday. What if there is a Monday morning problem with Waller while we're in the air? We know he's up to no good.
Tara's in good hands, I say, sitting down to pull on my shoes and socks while Lori steps into the skirt of her dress. We're leaving. I stand up and walk to stand in front of her. I'm going to need my shirt, sweetheart. She peels it away and hands it to me. My gaze lowers, raking over her naked breasts and watching her pretty pink nipples pucker under my inspection. I toss the shirt and bring her to me, her naked breasts pressed against my chest. The flight can wait, I say, but when I lean in to kiss her, her hand goes to my mouth.
I need to brush my teeth. No kissing.
I laugh, but concede, sliding my hand down her hip and between her legs. Even here? Her eyes glint with challenge, her hand pressing to the thick line of my erection.
How about here?
My cock twitches against her palm and her lips curve.
That's a yes, she says, lowering herself to her knees, shoving aside my open zipper, tugging down my underwear just enough to kiss the tip of my erection.
I suck in a breath, and a moment later she's got my cock in her hand, giving it a lick while casting me a coy, sexy look.
You can come, she says.
I think I owe you that.
With that announcement, she draws me in her mouth, sucking me deep. And just like that, I don't own her. She owns me.
Lori. Once Cole and I finally manage to get dressed, we exit the bedroom and walk down the stairs to find Savage and Adam sitting on the couches where we left them, both in the same clothes they had on when we went upstairs. Have you two not slept? I ask incredulously.
No sleep for the weary,
Adam says, rubbing his eyes.
Or the wicked,
Savage says, wiggling an eyebrow.
But now we can sleep. Our job is done. What does that mean?
Cole asks.
It means,
Adam replies,
that Blake found dirt on Waller and a link to the police chief.
Offshore accounts,
Savage says,
and it just gets dirtier from there. We'll spare you the details.
Royce has a message for you,
Adam says.
He said to tell you he's got this. They'll go down. He's calling in the appropriate people and getting the job done, but he said call him tomorrow and he'll fully update you. Not today, he said. He was apparently up with the baby all night and just went to bed.
And if that ain't a pitch for wearing a condom,
Savage says,
I don't know what is.
Should we tell Tara? I ask.
No.
All three men say at once.
The less she knows,
Cole says,
the better. These kinds of things have to be handled with care.
True that,
Savage says.
We have no idea who else might be involved that we haven't found out about. We don't want them tipped off,
Adam says, running his hands through his hair.
But I'll take care of Tara for you when the time is right,
Savage offers.
Go for it,
Cole says.
And good luck. She will eat you for lunch.
I tune out Savage and focus on Cole. Is it over? Is that what this means?
If Royce says it's handled, it's handled.
His cell phone rings and he pulls it from his pocket.
The airline,
he tells me before accepting the call. Savage gives me a grin and a wink.
Is he still an asshole?
I laugh and shake my head. I'm really glad you live here and not in New York City.
Actually, I live in New York City,
Savage says.
Adam here just needs a he-man to help him out until he gets his team built. So don't you worry. I'll be around to tell everyone all about you, tequila, and Cole's wrinkled shirt.
My lips part, and I'm about to panic when Cole steps to my side.
Hold that story until she graduates law school,
he orders.
Otherwise, I'll kill you, Savage.
All right,
Savage says, winking at me again.
You're the naughty intern or some shit like that right now. Don't you worry. I'll bite my tongue. Your secret is safe.
You have any seats on that plane?
Adam asks, looking at Cole.
Why?
Cole asks.
You need one?
No,
he says.
I want you to haul Savage and his big fucking mouth back with you.
He's joking,
Savage says.
He loves me.
I don't,
Cole says.
We're leaving.
He drapes his arm around me and turns me toward the door. Once we're there, he gives me a quick kiss
to hold me over until the airplane.
He releases me and opens the door. I step into the hallway and he joins me, and now we can't touch. Now we are boss and associate. It's an unwelcome cold splash of water. We're forbidden, and I'm really the naughty associate, and nothing will change that for 9 long months. Every silent moment of the elevator ride drives home these feelings.
The flight is in 2 hours,
Cole says when we step off the car onto our floor.
The pilot couldn't do any later due to scheduling conflicts. We'll need to leave in an hour.
I'll be ready, I say, walking to my door as he walks to his. I don't look at him. I just enter the room. I've barely had time to kick off my shoes when my cell phone rings and it's Cole.
Whatever you just let get in your head,
he says,
I'm going to get it out on the plane.
He hangs up.
Chapter 44. Cole. I hang up the phone from calling Lori, fully aware of what is bothering her. I feel what Lori did when we exited that hotel suite. The separation between us the minute we left a place where we'd freely been together, and when I ended that call with her, I fought the urge to make a few phone calls to deal with speeding up Lori's program rather than wait on Ashley to handle this. Those calls are not for her. Not now.